Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Saints Happy Hour needs your support. The Saints are going to have a great 2021 season, but Saints Happy Hour needs more support so we can keep giving you the Saints coverage you love. Become a patron to help us keep giving you the best daily Saints podcast on earth. Supporting Saints Happy Hour gives you the best Saints podcast every day without any stupid ads or promos like this one. And patrons also get access to our private Discord channel where you can talk Saints 24/7, early access to podcast episodes, our world-famous booze bundle with four amazing swag items. So do it. Go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today. That's saintshappyhour.com. Goodness, Andrew, that's the breaking news siren. The Saints signed Devonta Freeman. I botched it, even though before we started recording, you reminded me not to. I did it anyway.
That was literally like 20 seconds ago. I said it's Devonta. Don't call him Devonta. Literally 20 seconds ago.
It wasn't even 20 seconds. Welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. This one's free courtesy of Spotify, but you should sign up and become a full-time patron because it's awesome. You get the best Saints podcast every day. And annual subscribers get 2 months for free, and they get our special gift for the season. Andrew, I was at the pool when I saw this come through, and I was like, what is this? Why are they signing Devonta Freeman from the Falcons? They're fine at running back. But then I saw you tweet and talking in the Discord channel. I was like, maybe they're not.
Well, the first thing I thought of when I saw that was who died. And what, and why was it Latavius Murray? So that was where my mind went immediately. But so it's interesting.
Yeah, you tweeted me who died.
Who died, yeah. It's interesting. Like, I guess Ty Montgomery has been playing receiver exclusively, and a big part of that is Michael Thomas being out. And I guess with Juwan Johnson doing more tight end, you know, they're thin at receiver. And so, yeah, we don't really talk about Ty Montgomery much when we talk about the receiver group, right? Like, we've talked about Lil Jordan, we've talked about all these guys, but like, you know, Ty Montgomery has been in the league and he's explosive and he's as good of a candidate to be a top three receiver on this team right now as anybody. If you count Deontay Harris and Michael Thomas being out to start the season. So, yeah, I mean, I with him moving and with Kamara probably catching a lot of passes, all of a sudden you ask yourself, who's the number three running back? And, well, Tony Jones is in the mix, Stevie Scott, the UDFA, and Dwayne Washington, who's more of a special teamer. So why not, you know? I mean, look, yeah. There's no risk. Like, this is the thing that everyone needs to remember. At first, I was just like, what the hell? Like, why? Why bring Devonta at this stage of his career? Like, what's the point? But the way I look at it, like, if Ty Montgomery is going to be more of a receiver to start the year, they don't really have a number three running back. And there's really no downside because if it's a minimum deal and if Freeman sucks, like, they'll just cut him. And my guess is he looked pretty good in the workout. Otherwise, they wouldn't have signed him. And then on top of that, you add like his history with Jameis. They both went to Florida State together.
That's right. Won a national championship together.
Yeah, and it's not that different from when Tom Brady goes to the Bucks and Gronk joins, and you know Leonard Fournette wants to go because Brady's on the team. Like, you know, I do think sometimes you leverage those relationships, and you know, I think he has something to bring to the locker room too. So it's just really funny in the sense that, like, he was kind of the Saints killer for the Falcons. Like, he had some really, really good games against us.
He did.
And Sean Payton hated him. And there was that, like, choke sign that he made. Remember when it was kind of a reference to the year before in the Super Bowl. That. He's looking at Devontae Freeman and doing the choke symbol, and Devontae Freeman talks mad trash to him from the sidelines, and like, you know, even after the game, you know, he's tweeting ain'ts, and you know, I forget exactly what he tweeted about Sean Payton, but like Sean Payton sought him out and apologized to him because for a minute there, like, it was getting a little scary. Like some of the things that Devontae Freeman was saying, like he might come after Sean Payton or whatever. So
the joke symbols as bad as it gets. It's pretty bad. I love Sean Payton, but whew, I forgot about all that.
Well, you never do the choke symbol. Like you can tell him like you choked in the Super Bowl or whatever, but like, you know, the hands around the neck is a little, I don't know, it's a little graphic.
It is. Those were simpler times then. You get in huge trouble for that now, I think. But like you said, I mean, there's no risk. And you can't be any worse than like Gillislee or Adrian Peterson, right? I mean, it's, you know, he's 29 and they'll roll the dice with him. And we'll see how it goes. The other news of the training camp today, the actual practices, was corner is in crisis because they're poking around Prince Akamukamora's dead body. Okay.
See, how do you say that name right? How do you say that name right and get Devontae Freeman and all these other names? Anyway, continue.
They're poking around. It took Sean Payton 3 practices to start poking around corpses of corners that we vaguely remember played in the NFL. And here's why, Andrew. The star of camp of the corners is Ken Crawley. That's Billy Bando's music, and people were getting on me because I was making fun of him. I was like, if Ken Crawley is rocking it like it's 2017, that means the receivers suck. But other people were tweeting at me, well, maybe corner's not going to be as bad as you thought. So maybe Ken Crawley, he's going to turn back the clock, and number 2 corner is solved.
Well, all I know is that they don't throw flags in camp, but if Ken Crawley's your starter, they're going to be throwing flags in the games, you know? So Ken Crawley looking good, like that's all fine and dandy until the flags starts raining flags in the games, at which point he gets a little nervous about being handsy and he becomes less handsy. And then he's getting beat really badly. Like I've seen that movie and I know that's how it goes. So yeah, it does make me nervous, but on the other hand, like Ken Crawley, like we love to make fun of him, but like he was a good, dare I say, good starter for the Saints for like half a season.
Almost. Is for 2017.
Is good too nice.
I mean,
okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Serviceable?
By Saints standards, he was good. Like, if you take all the cornerback play since 2013.
And he was kind of a Julio Jones killer.
Yeah, like, he was good. He had that huge pick against the Dolphins in London. He was a good, serviceable NFL corner in 2017. But 2017 is a long time ago.
The problem with Ken Crawley is, like, he gets you through a few weeks, maybe. Like, if he's on a hot streak. You know, he's kind of like that three-point shooter that you don't like very much, like Marco Bellinelli. Remember when he was on the Hornets? Then talking, like, it's like, you know, he'll give you a stretch there where he's hitting a bunch of threes and he's kind of unconscious and he can't miss. And you're like, oh yeah, this guy could shoot. And then the minute the shots stop dropping, he can't do anything else. So you're like,
yeah,
oh,
he's like,
get him off, like, my roster ASAP.
You know, passes are going off his face. He's getting dunked on. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like Ken Crawley, you know, he'll match up against the guy where you're expecting like 15 catches for 280, right? And he actually does a good job, holds the receiver to maybe like 4 catches for 57 yards. And you're like, oh, yeah, Crawley played good.
And then they'll play the tech.
You know, he kind of exceeds expectations in like 3 or 4 weeks. You're like feeling good. And then he has like the Jason David game.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, right.
Yeah, that'll be the thing. That'll be the game. Like, he'll be great. And then they'll play Tampa. And they'll be like, oh, my God, Blaine Gabbert and Mike Evans are out. We are going to roll. And whoever Tampa has at receiver catches
He gets smoked by, like, some nobody fast guy that hasn't done anything all year. You know? And then just you were feeling good because he played good against Julio or whatever. But then he plays some nobody and gets smoked, and you're like, oof.
Yeah, but they're sniffing around corner. It only took three days. They haven't done any trades, and NFL trades aren't percolating up yet. So we'll see. The interesting thing about after practice today was we'll start with Peyton. Because they talked about both, they had both quarterbacks, Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill, were both interviewed by the media, and Sean Payton was already banging on the media about their obsession with the check down.
I told him yesterday, I said, every time you guys check a ball down to the running back, you'll get an article written. So, look, and I understand it. That's all part of the offense, and you're wanting to see some of the traits that maybe has made this offense go, and yet it'll evolve. And take on a little bit of a new life of its own based on who's playing quarterback. But, you know, a lot of drills that you get into might be more coverage-based and you're going to have to throw it underneath, and then there's going to be some drills where, you know, they're going to force you to throw the ball down the field. But, you know, both those guys are focused, obviously, on being patient, understanding what the defense is trying to take away, and, you know, playing then a little bit more efficiently.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to me, Andrew. What matters? What's going to matter most to Peyton? Like, because he talked about all these things that grade the quarterback. Is it going to be efficiency, big plays? Like I know it all matters, but like in the hierarchy of like what matters, is efficiency and turnovers number one and two? Is it big plays? Like it's interesting to me how he's gonna view what matters most to him when picking the quarterback.
What matters to him the most, do you think?
Yeah, what matters? What's going to matter the most to him, you think?
I mean, at the end of the day, this is like the most simplistic answer to your question, but it's who gives him the best chance to win. It's really that simple. And so, you know, when he says they track everything, I think we know Taysom Hill is the better runner. I think we know Jameis Winston is the better thrower, right? So those are the things they do well. To me, it's really about what are the things they do bad. And with Jameis Winston, I would say it's kind of like the gunslinger thing. So like he jokes about the checking down, But I actually think that's important or super important, especially for Jameis. And like the fact that people are writing articles about Jameis Winston settling for the fifth option and checking down because the throws aren't there. He's reading the defense. That's really important. Like that's what's going to win him the starting job. So I do think he's looking at that. And with Taysom, you know, the things that make him unplayable are, can he make the throws down the field? Can he go through his read progressions? You know, can he not fumble the ball? So to me, it's more like the negative stuff. Like we know the positive stuff with both players. That's what gets us excited about these two guys. And I don't see all of a sudden Jameis Winston breaking a 60-yard run. And I don't see Taysom Hill all of a sudden making these ridiculous throws that Jameis can make.
And
you know, like
say,
that to me is set.
And I didn't tweet it out because I didn't want the media yelling at me and I didn't want to get into arguments. But they had Taysom for 7 minutes. Not one person asked him about, have you improved your fumbling issue? Like, to me, that is one of the critical questions you have to ask Taysom. But one interesting thing they did ask Taysom today, Andrew, was they asked him about getting prepared and getting his body ready for training camp. And he talked about something that you have been talking about. There's a difference between getting ready to play quarterback only and getting ready to play quarterback, tight end, receiver, and all the things that he had been asked to do in the past.
I think as a thrower, it's more important to have a stronger backside, you know, than it is your front side shoulder. And it's naturally to work your front side muscles than it is your backside. And I can tell you for me, historically, when I get sore, it's all your decel motions from taking so many reps and throwing so many balls. And so throughout my career here, I was always trying to find that balance of being strong enough to do what I was going to be asked to do, but, you know, still be able to throw a ball and so forth. And so there was definitely a transition there.
So it sounds, and he said he's preparing to be a quarterback. So I wonder, like, if he's not the quarterback, is he less likely to do more stuff? Is he going to get hurt? Like, it's a concern. But it was interesting to me that he mentioned that, like, yeah, I've prepared my body all off season to be a quarterback.
Well, look, I do think if he doesn't win the job and all of a sudden he's the backup, this isn't really a thing anymore where I think he can adjust pretty quickly. Now, I don't know if he can do it in a week, but like in 2 or 3 weeks, I think he can get his body up to speed where like if Jameis is the guy and it's like, hey, look, Taysom, you're not the quarterback. Like he can change his workout routine. He can build strength. He can get his body acclimated pretty quickly to be ready. Like I think the ship has sailed on the special team stuff, punt protector. Like I just don't see him doing that for the Saints anymore. So I do think we can kiss that stuff goodbye. The playing a tight end, you know, I just think they're paying the guy $14 million for God's sakes. Like they're not going to have him sit on the bench and
That's right. Nothing.
Like Sean, when he knows what this guy's capable of and he knows that he can give him an angle offensively, a weapon, a something for the defense to prepare for. Like when you're missing Michael Thomas, you're going to need that.
That's right.
If he's not the guy, then, you know, that he's going to have to figure it out. So for those people out there that are like, oh, well, physically he can't do it. Like he's going to have to figure that out pretty quickly because he's going back to tight end. He's going back to running the Wildcat. Like that's what's going to happen. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, I would say after the first 2 days, Jameis was with the backups and all accounts were that Jameis was looking better. And then they made the switch today and Jameis was with the starters and Taysom was with the backups and Taysom looked a lot better today. So, you know, I would say through 3 days, inconclusive, you know,
I don't know. No, Andrew. You can't do that on social media. I need a goddamn answer today.
I need an answer now.
That's right. Ralph Marlboro here from Saints Happy Hour. You need to join us every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on the Spotify Green Room app. We are talking Saints or anything New Orleans sports related. On Spotify Green Room, you can interact with us by asking questions or just laugh at me mispronouncing names. Download the Spotify Green Room on your iPhone or Android device, then follow Saints Happy Hour so you can join us every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. to talk Saints or anything else NOLA sports related. So do it. Download the Spotify Green Room app and join us every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you there. By the way, this is a tease. We have a more interesting sound from Jameis and Taysom that we're going to play on the live stream that we do every Monday night. And if you're listening to this podcast for free, it's tonight. So join us. We're going to have more sound. I wanted to have Dave and Kevin in the mix to talk about especially some of the Taysom sound.
We're going to have our UDFA draft too, right?
No, we're not having the UDFA draft yet. We're going to do that next week. But Thomas is going to give us the updated big board, and we're going to have like a pre-draft, like look at the big board and think about it and go through it. I got to have another week of practice before we have the UDFA draft.
And remind me of the draft order. It's Dave's last because he won.
Thomas, then me, then. Then Kevin, then you, then Dave, I think.
No, Kevin's guy played a game.
Yeah.
Kevin is behind me. How did we decide that you're ahead of me? How does that work?
Because you're my guy.
We both had guys that were on practice squad the whole year. So we basically tied.
I don't remember. We did something and I fucking forgot what it was. But you're
so you think you're picking second and I'm picking third?
Yeah, I'm picking second. You're picking third. Kevin's picking fourth and Dave's last.
Okay.
So we got – it's going to be – it's a pretty this UDFA draft, we'll get into it tomorrow on the live stream. It's interesting because this roster is much more in flux. So you can go a lot of directions and feel good that your guy can make it. But back to quarterback – Jameis talked to the media, and he had a bunch of interesting things to say. And I want to play this soundbite for you. And this is about him talking about the off-season work he did with the players. But the thing that I want people to pay attention to is he says receiver's name with such excitement that it is unbelievable. Like, I feel like he is in love with all of his receivers. Check this out.
I often say that teamwork makes the dream work, right? So the more I just get to know who that guy is, he gets to know who I am. You know, you kind of build that trust, right? So it's one of those situations where you look that guy in the eye and he's like, yeah, I know what page you're on, you know, and I know what pace he's on. So anytime you can build that team camaraderie with anyone, you know, the offensive line, you know, that's why, Sean, you know, promotes gatherings, but you know, with COVID and all, we couldn't do that, right? So we kind of lost that aspect of that team building. So the only time we get to spend time together is in this locker room. So we definitely got to take advantage of that. But this offseason, being able to spend time with Deontay, Lil Jordan, TQ, and Adam Troutman, and Jawan, and Nick, and all those guys, like you just know, like when we get on the field, like, hey, we've been here before, right? We already executed these plays, so it's a different type of connection.
I mean, Andrew, he's like, TQ, Jawan. He's like, he is pumped about these receivers.
No, look, he's doing all the right things. That's the thing we keep talking about. And if he wants to stand any chance, he's doing the extra mile, you know. And I saw that he was doing footwork stuff.
Yep.
Doing a lot of stuff after practice. So who does that remind you of?
Yeah, it's true. And
Breezy, right?
You know,
Breezy.
And
that's who he learned that stuff from. So, you know, look, no concerns about the off the field stuff.
No, and I you know, it's funny. You tweet about Jameis, even if you don't tag him, Jameis 101 swoops in like Batman. And me and him got into one of our many arguments, and it wasn't even advanced stats because Jameis 101, I've said it before, nobody loves find yourself somebody who loves you like he loves Jameis. But my point to him was, and he was refuting me, but he's 100% wrong, is this is it for Jameis. Like, if Jameis doesn't lock down this job with the Saints and become the franchise quarterback for the Saints, he's never going to be a franchise quarterback for a team, because teams are going to look at him, they're going to be like, Arians didn't want you, Sean Payton didn't want you, you're the black Ryan Fitzpatrick from now on. Like, we'll sign you, you'll be the bridge to our next guy or like when we draft a guy, but we're no one's ever going to commit to him long term. This is it. This is it for him. And I think he knows it. And that's why he's doing everything. He's going the extra mile. He's great with the media. Like, he knows, and like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, this is it. Like, he knows this is his last real shot to be the face of a franchise. I 100% believe that. I don't care what Jameis101 tweets at me.
I think I agree with you. I mean, I do think it's possible that he could be a backup somewhere. Like, I think Tannehill, you know, like Tannehill.
Yeah.
Like, he's a backup somewhere, and then the starter gets hurt, and then he tears it up, and then maybe, you know, he becomes a franchise quarterback. So I would slightly disagree that, like, you know, maybe there's a path for him, but I mostly agree with what you're saying. I do think he's going a long way towards proving that the issues that he's had are a thing of the past. I mean, I really think he's a professional now, you know? And I think for a long time, like, there was just question marks about a lot of distractions, a lot of behavior, like when he was off the football field, not practicing, where it's like, is this guy really committed to football? Like, or is he kind of immature?
And he always looked to me
really immature, but to me, that's all in the past now. Like, yeah. I think he's turned that corner. So I do think a team would sign him to be a backup now based on what he's demonstrated.
100%.
But yeah, but I mostly agree with you. But look, everything you're saying, Ralph, like, we're seeing that from Jameis. Like, I think he recognizes that. Like, he senses the urgency of, like, this is the second year in a row I'm on an unsatisfactory contract. You know that guy thinks he's worth $25-30 million a year. You know Jameis believes that in his heart of hearts. So, like, somebody should be paying me that. And, you know, I think he's done a good job humbling himself, but I think he believes that he's being lowballed. And I believe he thinks that he should be making more money. And that probably is a bitter pill to swallow. I think he's accepted that, like, this is where I'm supposed to be, and these are the lumps I have to go through to get to where I want to be. I think he's accepted that. And yet I still think it's a bitter pill for him to swallow that he's in this position and not being handed a starting job at $25 million a year. So that's where he wants to be. And I do think there's that tunnel vision and that sense of urgency, you know?
Yeah. And also too, just, he was always, to me, like, even at Florida State and Tampa, he was a guy that was, like, kind of chunky and, like, you never looked at him and were like, that dude's in pristine shape. Now, you look at him, you're like, yeah, he's in fucking maximum shape. Like, it's just...
Quarterback weight is always a little weird to me in the sense he almost looks a little skinny to me.
Yeah.
You know? And the thing you got to be careful about with that is, I mean, I guess Tom Brady's that way too, and he's super malleable. And when he takes hits, I've seen defensive ends like describe it as tackling a pillow. Like, he's just so pliable and malleable that, like, it's hard to put a big hit on him because it just, his body contorts to it. And so maybe it's like that for Jameis. I know he's doing a lot of yoga and stuff, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like Roethlisberger. Now Roethlisberger's super skinny right now too, but I mean, over his career, he's kind of carried a little bit of extra weight, and you've seen a lot of quarterbacks that carry their weight like that specifically to be able to take hits, you know? And so I don't know. I mean, all I know is Breeze from the last 16 years of covering the Saints or whatever, but
he was short, Breeze has always been thicker than you thought. Like, if you ever met him in person, you'd be like, man, he was always thicker than you thought, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he never had an ounce of fat on him though.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But it's an interesting point with Jameis. And, you know, as we go through, we've only had 3 days, but what have you noticed in 3 days from the reporting, from the Twitters, from the videos, from everything? Has anything stuck out to you that is either really good or really concerning?
No, not really. I mean, until live tackling happens, until they're in full pads, I think the biggest thing that you can take away besides how the quarterbacks are doing, and so far, like, I would give Taysom and Jameis both a B+. I think they're doing everything they're supposed to be doing. They're throwing the ball pretty well. They're grading out well. They're working with, you know, C minus D plus level receivers, and they're making the throws they're supposed to and all that. So I don't really concern myself too much with the quarterbacks, and I think that's a positive. It's interesting just to see the rotation, you know, and obviously Ruiz has been the right guard. There hasn't been much rotation there. He's the guy. That's really promising to see. There hasn't been any flip-flopping between him and McCoy. Like, McCoy's the center. He's the right guard. So that feels really stable. The offensive line feels set. Interesting to see Jalen Dalton has gotten a lot of looks at defensive tackle next to Shy Tuttle. So I would say right now, if you're looking at defensive tackle, it looks like Jalen Dalton's really the one, at least for now, that's kind of turning some heads. And
he was doing the same, though, last year, right? Like, he was.
Yeah, he was good in training camp, before he got hurt. So he's maybe a no-name guy. So we can't draft him in the UDFA draft because he's a veteran now, but he's not a rookie. But he's a guy to look for, and I've just gotten tipped from a couple people I've talked to that, like, yeah, Dalton is looking good in camp. So that's a guy to keep an eye on. And then, honestly, it's the Werner and Zach Bond battle. Like, Zach Bond has a ways to go, but everything I've heard is he's made some strides, and he's looking pretty good so far. And so there's a big difference between Zach Bond last year and what Zach Bond looks like right now. And I think that's a big deal for Saints fans. And so, you know, all of a sudden, I think you look at this Werner-Bond battle, and that's promising for the Saints in the sense that, you know, you only need one to work out, at least to begin the season. And if both are playing pretty good and making that competition tough, that's a good sign for the Saints.
They won't even bring him to camp. He looks like a star of the day for the Saints.
Maybe their 26-year quest to draft an above-average linebacker will end with Bond or Werner.
Right, right. Either way. Only one of them has to work out for that to be
That's
true.
Right. So,
By the way, I found the quote from Devontae Freeman, and it was that Sean Payton, that guy doesn't know anything about choking. He doesn't come from where I've been. So, I don't know. I thought that was kind of funny. That man don't know nothing about choking, end quote. He ain't from where I'm from. He don't know nothing about choking.
See, Sean Payton, he'll let bygones be bygones if he thinks a player can help him. You know,
Sean Payton did apologize after that. Said he regretted the you know. Anyway,
makes me feel
it looks like things are all good between him and Freeman.
It's all good. So
clearly, he signed the guy.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's something. It's something to watch, though, with running back and that sort of thing. And like I said, we are the best podcast to get your daily fix from training camp. We're breaking it down. We're giving you sound players, Sean Payton, everything. So you should sign up and become a freaking patron. Do it annually. Save yourself some money. John and Lester and Nathan all did it today. They became annual patrons. Thanks, guys. And so do it, and you get a free gift, which we'll announce on the live stream tomorrow night. It's amazing. Dave did a knock-up job. So for Andrew, I'm Ralph. You got a special Saturday night podcast, but we'll see you Monday on the new live stream. Thanks, and we'll see you then.